The ads are all over television and the internet.
Lost your appetite for romance and your mood is on its way down? You might not just be getting older. You might have a treatable condition called low testosterone or low T. Millions of men 45 or older may have low T. So talk to your doctor about low T.
This ad from isitlowt.com is a perfect example, according to two Dartmouth Institute for Health Policy and Clinical Practice researchers, of how drug companies are creating disease awareness campaigns. Low T, How to Sell Disease co-author Stephen Woloshin says ostensibly the ads are an effort to teach people and medical professionals about a problem and potential treatment.
On the face of it, it's a really good thing. The problem is that sometimes these campaigns are used to promote things that may not really be diseases, or make more people think they have a disease than really do, or make them more apt to try to get treatment for something which in the end may not really help them or could even end up hurting them.
In reading the documents, a lot of what's done in these campaigns appear to be very subtle.
Well, that's true. There is a lot of subtlety. And as we outlined in the paper, there are really three basic strategies. One is, we call it lowering the bar. That means trying to expand the number of people who see themselves as sick. So in the old days, low testosterone was a medical condition called hypogonadism. And this is people who have severe genetic or medical conditions that essentially make their testes not work. And so they have extraordinarily low testosterone levels and they're really symptomatic. Nowadays, low T is conceived of as just having a low level on a blood test. And it really, in some ways, it melds into the whole, sort of the whole concept of aging. I mean, as men age, their testosterone level drops, but that doesn't mean that they're sick. That means that they're aging. And the question is, at what point should people be tested and treated? And our concern with the low T campaign is that it implies that everyone should be tested and treated, even if they have just very vague symptoms, symptoms that are may well be caused by other things, normal aging, depression, and so on. So that's one concept, this idea about lowering the bar. And then the other thing about the campaign that is disturbing is the way that they raise the stakes. So it's one thing to tell someone that their testosterone level might be low. It's another thing to tell them it could kill them. And the problem is a lot of the materials in the campaign and some of the publications, some of the things that you see in the media imply that low testosterone levels are associated with death. And the evidence here is extremely weak. I mean, the things that go along with low T are the same things that go along with aging. So it's sort of an epidemiologic trick. And the idea that taking testosterone replacement will make you live longer is something that's never been demonstrated. So that's sort of an example where there's some subtlety, but that's important for people to understand. And then the other thing is about spinning the evidence, because the evidence base for testing and treating low testosterone levels is really weak. The campaign implies that it will make you live longer, or have better sex, it'll take care of your depression, it'll make you look like, you know, a bodybuilder. But the evidence is quite weak. There's no effect on bone fractures or falls. There's no meaningful improvement in energy levels or ability to do routine tasks. There's no meaningful improvement in depressive symptoms or overall sexual satisfaction or even meaningful changes in erectile dysfunction. So the amount of benefit you get is limited. But there are really important harms. People who take this drug are more likely to develop blood clots, heart attacks, elevated PSA, prostate-specific antigen levels, which are associated with increased risk of prostate cancer. So the bottom line is the benefits are questionable, but the harms are very, very substantial.
If the drug companies are able to market these by spinning the research and using either insufficient or limited data, how are they able to market the drugs legally?
Well, because they're careful about what they, you know, a lot of it is subtlety and innuendo. I mean, I think a great example is if you go on the Is It Low T website, which is sort of like the home page of this campaign, there's a quiz that you can take to decide whether you have low T, and if so, whether you ought to talk to your doctor about it. And the questions are all things like, have you noticed a decrease in your enjoyment of life? Are you sad or grumpy? Are you falling asleep after dinner? You can show associations between these things and people with low testosterone levels, but the quiz itself implies that if you get tested and get treated, those things will go away, that you won't be grumpy anymore, that, you know, you won't fall asleep after dinner, that, you know, you'll be able to dunk the basketball again. So they're not saying that explicitly, but they're implying it. And that's the issue with a lot of the things in this campaign. People want to find things that will help them live longer, feel better, things that will counter aging. We all want something like that. The problem is that testosterone replacement isn't that.
How many of these sorts of diseases can end up being sold, and what can we look at in the future for potential disease awareness ads being bombarded towards us?
Well, that's a great question. A friend of mine, a journalist from Australia, Ray Moynihan, wrote about something that he calls pre-death syndrome. Really, there's no limit to the number of conditions that can be developed into this sort of a campaign. The real question is, why does it happen? And in the end, it means there has to be a condition, there has to be a test, and there has to be some treatment. So it's possible to imagine a disease awareness campaign for all sorts of conditions. And there are the ones out there all the time. This is a phenomenon that happens more and more in medicine, where we're expanding the definitions of disease, in other words, narrowing the realm of health. If you're hair is thinning, it's called androgenic alopecia. You know, if you're not paying attention, it's attention deficit disorder. If you feel sleepy, you know, maybe you have sleep apnea. You can divide the world up into all sorts of medical conditions with potential treatments, and there are all sorts of drugs out there. The problem is, before people expose themselves to the harms and costs of testing and treatment, I think it's really incumbent on the people who are selling it to be clear that it does more good than harm, and that the uncertainties are really low. And until that's the case, I think these campaigns trying to draw larger and larger numbers of people into testing and treatment, I think are often misguided and potentially dangerous. It's true that helping people understand what potential problems are out there and what potential treatments are out there is a good thing. Education is a good thing. But only if it's done in a way that doesn't exaggerate the dangers that people face and the benefits of the treatments.
Stephen Woloshin, most people see these campaigns on television. How can people be so unaware that these are ad campaigns to sell products?
Sometimes they're explicitly a drug ad, but a lot of times it's more subtle than that. These campaigns are really skillful in the way that they co-opt the media into what they do. Lisa Schwartz and I did a paper on restless leg syndrome where we looked at the media coverage of the campaign, and we found all sorts of instances where the media was simply just repeating drug company press release claims, spun data, spun evidence, exaggerated claims about benefit and prevalence of the disease, and so on. So you see the same thing with low T. We haven't studied it systematically, but if you look at any popular magazines for men, you see not only advertisements for androgens of medicine, but these sort of infomercial-type advertisements that draw people into the low T website. Or there are these doctors who are writing books about testosterone and the importance of testing and treating. And the archives in the same issue as our essay, there's an article by someone who helped ghostwrite one of those books who talks about the way that they try to reach out to the public in ways that are not obviously advertisements.
What about physician responsibility? Why are they even prescribing these drugs?
Some of the doctors are in a tough position because if patients are asking for something, then sometimes it's hard to say no, or it takes a lot of time to explain why there may be more harm than benefit. Or some doctors may be true believers. They may not know the evidence. They see the same infomercials as the patients, and maybe they're willing to sign on as well. But sometimes the doctors are doing it just because they're not doing a good job. They're not doing a good job at making sure that the patients understand the benefits and harms and uncertainties of the testing and treatment.
If we didn't see these ads, whether it was on TV or in the magazines and such, would people be more or less healthy?
Well, that's a great question. And I don't know the answer for sure, but my guess is we might be healthier.
What should a layperson, someone not in the medical field, ask when they see one of these advertisements? What should be going through their mind? And secondarily, what should a doctor be asking when a patient is responding to an ad and going to them for a prescription?
Right. I think the answer to both questions is pretty much the same. The question is, where is this ad coming from? Are there any more testing and more treatment? And most importantly, what's the danger that's being addressed? What's the chance that I'll have something bad happen to me? Live less long, have less energy, not have satisfying sexual function, and so on. If I don't take the drug, and what's the chance if I do take the drug? And by seeing those things side by side, you can judge whether the benefit of the drug is big or small. And then at the same time, you always have to remember there's no free lunch, so you have to also ask about the harms. What are the bad things that can happen if I do or don't take the drug? when you see this information, benefit and harm, with or without the drug, side by side, you can make a really informed judgment. Is it worth it or not? And in the case of testosterone, if you do that, my take is the benefit is small, the harm is substantial. If I'm seeing a patient, they're asking me about this drug, I try to walk them through it. In the end, you know, patients will make their decisions. I think the physician's job is to try to help do what they can to make sure they're making informed decisions.
The Dartmouth Institute and the authors of Low T, How to Sell Disease will host an international conference at Dartmouth in September on preventing overdiagnosis. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.